Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hey, everyone. How's everyone doing here on Monday? Another beautiful Monday.
It is indeed another great Monday. So, well, busy week ahead. Is it spring break where you're at, Justin?
I don't know. I try to avoid all the youngsters now that I'm in my 30s. I think it is for some of the schools, though. Have this week and some have next week, actually. So just depends on the school districts out here. When is it in Texas this week?
Yeah, it's this week. So. Really excited. This is my last kid. He's a senior. So, I'm excited about that. And we're just having a lazy, well, they are, but anyway, one more of a lazy week just running errands and those things. And so it's kind of a low key spring break. So I'm always down for that. So
there you go.
That's right, man. That's right. Last one. But anyway, so how are you feeling? I know you were under the weather last week, so hopefully you sound better.
Yeah, thanks. You know, and sorry, wasn't able to be on last week. I obviously, you know, love being here for you, for the listeners, and always sharing insights. Last week was a tough one, man. And, you know, I'll just share a quick bit because it's kind of speaks to the healthcare market at large right now, specifically in America. And so I came down with something nasty, you know, didn't know what it was at the time on kind of Friday afternoon. So I checked out a bit early. I'm like, hey, I'm feeling a little weird. I'm going to, you know, call it a day a bit early. And then I started to feel really hot. So checked the temperature. Okay. You got a fever, you know, so you're pounding fluids and, you know, aspirin and whatever. Woke up Saturday and literally felt like death, right? So, you know, okay, it's a flu, it's something serious, right? And went to a kind of an urgent care thing out here in California, got looked at, and, you know, they prescribed me, well, I should say, they diagnosed me with the flu, or that's what they thought anyway. So they prescribed me a bunch of medications to counteract the flu, like Tamiflu and some other stuff, right? Which any of you that have had the flu, you know what that is. It's pretty strong stuff. But sure enough, you know, Saturday, Sunday, still running a fever, still feeling like shit. And Monday rolls around. And so now it's, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days in a row straight with the fever. And my other half's starting to freak out a little bit, right? She's like, okay, this isn't normal. You know, you should have been getting better by now if the medications were working. So I go to like an urgent IV place and get an IV, you know, put in. Luckily, help get some fluids in me anyway, you know, because I, by this time, had started to vomit and all that kind of stuff. And woke up Tuesday, it's same thing. So now it's the fifth day, which any of you, you know, medical professionals, just people in general know, if you're running a fever more than 2-3 days straight, that's kind of serious. And I'm now at day five and should have been theoretically feeling better by now. And, you know, long story short or long story long, we went back to the doctor again and said, listen, hey, you know, whatever he gave me isn't working. She had, Naomi has a friend who's a nurse who had come by and looked at me and said, hey, I think you have a throat infection, not the flu, actually. She said, hey, go get on antibiotics. I got on some antibiotics and, you know, sure enough, within a couple of days, started to feel like a human again. So that knocked me out home basically a full week, which is never fun. I feel like I wasted half of that time being misdiagnosed, which really, really sucks. But it's good to be, you know, back on my feet and, you know, with you guys again here today. And it just speaks to, I mean, like, I'll tell you what, Bruce, the medical community, you know, our healthcare system is really fucked up, man. It's really not great. It's not the worst out there. You know, I acknowledge that, but it's not really great. And I experienced that firsthand, you know, the last week.
Yeah, no, I mean, what is it that frustrates you about the healthcare system? Was it the access to the provider, or sounds like pretty much the bad advice the provider rendered?
Well, both. Or right? What's your access? Yeah. So, you know, you got to wait an hour and a half and whatever. And luckily, could, you know, negotiate my way to get seen a little quicker than that. But then when you do get seen, they go through this litany of I call them dumb questions. Like, oh, well, how, you know, old are you? Well, what have you been feeling? It's like, I just told you, I feel like this. So they go through this thorough, and I get it to a point, but some of it, like the paperwork shit, it's like, here's my fucking license. You know, I feel like shit. Here's my license. You guys scan it in your system and figure this shit out. Right. And it's like, as someone who felt like dog shit, I didn't want to go in there and answer basic fucking questions. So that would be point one, is like, get your technology and systems in shape a bit. So that stuff was streamlined a bit. That was just irritating more than anything. I'm like, can we just get to the point where you diagnose me, give me some medication so I can get on my fucking way, you know? And then on top of that, you give me this test, right? So the reason they diagnosed me with flu is because it was basically the path of least resistance. They tested me for in office for strep and for the flu. I came up negative for both, which could have been human error or whatever you want to call it based on the throat infection I developed. But then when I go back, they have a process, quote unquote, right? And their process is they don't give medication if they don't test or do their test. Well, my frustration now lies that, okay, you've already proven that your tests are shit, right? They're either ineffective or there was human error that occurred. I feel like shit 5 days later. I'm not feeling too good about taking another one of your stupid fucking tests. So why don't we go a little old school? I tell you I feel like shit. You give me, you know, some medication that helps me, and we'll be on our merry way. And I had to kind of strong arm the doctor a little bit, who was almost like arguing with me about needing to take this test. And I'm like, so let me get this straight. The test that misdiagnosed me before, I'm supposed to take again. And if it comes back negative again, I'm going to walk out of here with no medications, feeling like shit. I don't think so. Right. So, yeah, it was kind of a myriad of everything, Bruce. And, you know, maybe it was a specific bad day for them, or bad, you know, clinic or whatever that I went to. But this isn't the first time this has happened. I think licensed professionals like, you know, yourself and some of the specialists that are out there have done the work. I think we have a major problem specifically with the general physician population. And if I'm to be really specific, with the, you know, all the back end rebates and spiffs and shit that they get from the drug companies to fill scripts. And this causes this whole chain reaction in our system. So that's just my perspective, and people might, you know, violently disagree with me, and they're entitled to their own opinions, but that's just been my experience the last couple of years.
Yeah, I you know, it is a hassle to go through there's all these procedures and mechanisms, and there's just, like you said, that, you know, getting in. And my insurance is considered pretty fantastic, you know, and even to do some of the routine procedures for myself here recently, that the front end of that is pretty cumbersome. And then just riding herd and making sure everything's paid out and everything's correct. So it is quite a hassle, but I'm glad to know you know, I was going to go on this whole California holistic thing that that's why they didn't give you an antibiotic. Here, man, have some echinacea, have some curcumin and send you out the door. But sometimes it does take something like, right, a good old fashioned antibiotic just to get that stuff out of there. But
And trust me, I'm not a big fan of Western medicine where I can avoid it, but
you know what?
There's a need for it sometimes.
The times I'm a big fan of Western medicine is if I was shot by a gun, stabbed, you know, burned up in a fire. I mean, can't beat them. You can't beat Western medicine when it comes to certain trauma things. But yeah, when it comes to these other issues, there's some challenges there for Western medicine. But glad to hear it now. In the spirit of being an entrepreneur in the 1099 lifestyle, was this healthcare you had to pay out of pocket, or did you have a?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. Yeah,
I'm on a bit of a progressive plan, so. So there's obviously, I'll categorize them, you know, for the listeners out there, they're probably all aware of like I call them the big box companies, right? Your Uniteds, your Aetnas, Cignas, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, all those type of companies, right? Then you have your state or government funded programs. And then you have this other group out there that if it was honestly, and this actually does tie into Vablet a little bit, right? So when we were launching the team, part of this launch was like nothing was in place, no HR, no, you know, insurance, none of that, right? So launching all that was part of it. And as a small company with only a couple of employees, you don't get any breaks when it comes to the big companies. And even if you did, their rates are outrageous, right? So if you're a small company, you're trying to extend a favorable salary plus commission overall package to potential employees to be an attractive destination, you know, place to work.
All right.
Then seeing, you know, $500 or whatever dollars a month taken out of their paycheck to help fund or subsidize health insurance doesn't feel too good, right? So we started looking at these alternative programs. I call them alternative. They're really not. I mean, they've been around for years, but they're still little known. Like health, they're called health, basically sharing communities or health sharing plans. And it bypasses a lot of the middlemen in the insurance world on more of a reimbursement based, you know, basis, right? So it's not like where it processes insurance and then you pay whatever's left over. It's a little different. You pay up front and then you get reimbursed. So the process is different. But I've actually found that I've saved money that way. So the premiums and the plan, you know, monthly plans are much lower, again, because you're bypassing a lot of the middlemen. The coverage is just as good, if not better. It's just a process change, right? You know, people are afraid of change and might not be for everyone. But going through the process with Vablet, I was like, what the heck? So you know, I gave it a whirl and it's worked out for me so far. So I'm happy with that piece of it anyway.
So you're happy with the structure of the plan and what you get with the plan for what you pay?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Cause I've been a part of, you know, the best, you know, you can buy plans for years dating back to my days at Cisco and whatever $1,000 taken out a month plus whatever they match to it. You know, you're talking very nice coverage, United or whatever else I had, but then I never would use it, you know, and that's insurance, right? You need it when you know, need it and don't need it when you don't need it. But you know, it seemed kind of usurious. This, I don't know, you know, so it's different. Like I said, there's lots them out there. There's like Liberty and Sedera are a couple that come to mind that are, you know, like I said, progressive. I'd call them community-based health share plans. So
that's good. I remember Kaiser Permanente from back in the day. They were pretty large out there, and who knows where they went off to. But you know, I think that's a consideration, and I think this is a very timely subject because as entrepreneurs, right, as an entrepreneur. That healthcare issue is a big fat question mark for Well, this is my sense of it. And I want you to chime in because you're actually there and I'm sitting here in the ivory tower. but anyway, it seems to me as a, if I were a young entrepreneur, that would be a big fat question mark going to a startup or whatever. And I would assume that some of these things that entrepreneurs are getting into don't have any benefits, right? It's just a straight money proposition or a straight 1099 proposition. And there really is no healthcare, or is that incorrect? Most kind of socially responsible startups have some sort of a plan for their employees. Kind of what's your take on that? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a little bit of both, and I think it depends. You know, I'll tell you straight up, like, you know, Babble, the folks we have on W-2 have some sort of health subsidy. The fact that folks we have on 1099 do not. Now they can pay out of pocket for it. And I think the learning lesson is this, regardless of startup, not startup, if you're 1099 or if you're, you know, self-employed, your healthcare is a big deal, right? This isn't like the W-2 game where it's taken care of or mostly taken care of and you're good to go. It's a big consideration. And I strongly encourage any entrepreneur out there, whether you currently have insurance or evaluating it, looking to chain, whatever it might be, to look at some alternative plans and see if it makes sense for you and your family. Because I'll tell you this much, if you're a startup, you're just starting your business or first couple of years and you're barely breaking even or grinding it out, you know, throwing $500, $1,000 a month at insurance is not probably a prudent financial decision. It really isn't. I'm not saying not to have insurance, but what I'm saying is there's other options out there. Imagine if you could spend $200 a month and take the other $800 and invest it back in your business. So that's where my head's at, you know, and if you talk to any of the greats or read any of their books, like the Cubans of the world, he would tell you the same thing. You know, you have to run lean, you have to run mean, you have to be financially smart, and you have to be resourceful as all can be. And this is just one of those things where, yeah, be super resourceful, you know, find, don't not have coverage, but you don't have to, you know, just because it's known. And that's an educational thing, right? It's an educational problem in society because, back to my original point, you know, the large companies don't want us to know about these alternative plans. They're the ankle biters.
Right. Well, you know, it's definitely a consideration as you're out there, you know. And I think I was kind of like you when I was in your age. I knew it was a good idea to have healthcare. I didn't really utilize it, right? Because I was healthy and too busy hustling and working and doing my thing. And so as long as I could, you know what I mean, do what I need to do without interruption, then I wasn't going to go see the doctor and only a few times, you know, until I started even monitoring myself here in my mid-50s. But so actually going to the doctor is kind of a new experience for me because I never really went, you know, back in the day. But, you know, once you have theoretically, if should you have a family or, you know what I mean, that type of thing and kids, right? You don't want to, it's Doctorville. I don't know if you remember when you were a little kid, but
doctor for everything.
It's Doctorville, man. I mean, the fevers, the childhood, you know, the chicken poxes, the measles, all your first round go-tos, colds, flus, playground injuries. Wow. You know what I mean? I was just like, can I catch a break here? with two kids, you know, but anyway, but that whole, you know, it's a political issue as well, right? What are we gonna do with healthcare in this country and what responsibility, what kind of civic responsibility, you know, do companies have or does a startup have, you know, ethically to do something? And is that something that, but do you think it, you know, some of the folks in their mid late 20s, do you think they look at healthcare as a consideration or they're just, or those first jobs, there's just, they're just going to go for the cash and worry about healthcare later? What's your sense of that?
I mean, I think it's go for the cash, right? And it's not the worst idea or you know, strategy in the world. I mean, yeah, there's shit can happen for sure. But if you look at the probability and the odds, I mean, you just said it yourself. I said it myself. When you're younger, you know, barring major accidents, for the most part, you're generally healthier. So, you know, the routine doctor's visits and all that are diminished. So, you know, I wouldn't make that like a determining factor. Like, if one's going to pay you more cash than the other, but the other one has that's going to pay you less cash is going to give you, you know, insurance coverage, I'd say go for more fucking cash, because again, you can find ways to fund your healthcare experience somewhere out there. It's just about being resourceful. What you can't change is your entry level or entry foyer salary or equity position in a company when you're first coming in. That's a big bargaining position, and it's something I've learned in my career. And you progress over time, right? You ask for what you know you're worth and what you know you can demonstrate your worth. And you know, there was a time in my career where I would have asked for probably half or a third of what I'm, you know, require now. But you know, as you prove yourself more, you know what you're worth, and you know what you're worth, and don't be afraid to ask for it, right? I think that's the other key to it.
It is a key to it, you know, and it, you know, just now, you know, I'm able to really harness that and with a lot more confidence now than I was years ago when I was still a federal employee. You know, working for the government, you're just kind of I don't know, man. I don't want to see, it's just so encompassing, you know, at least for me it was, you know, and then kind of coming out into the real world, it took me a while to kind of figure out what my market value was worth, you know. And obviously I've been able to leverage that health benefit to my advantage in negotiating contracts and interactions with other companies to say, hey, look, I'm a contractor. I don't really need healthcare. You know, if I'm going to be doing something, that there was a company that I was doing something, you know, very significant with for 3.5 years, you know what I mean? And I'm glad I didn't cross over into the W-2 sphere, you know. But anyway, but that is, that isn't.
There's more responsibilities though, right? Like, so we're right amidst tax season, so I'm sure you've paid or about to,
you know, about to.
Yeah, I just did that over the weekend myself. I mean, that's a little different, right? When you're W-2, it's, you get your W-2 statement, you roll it up to your accountant, or you know do it in, you know, Intuit, you know, or whatever, and you're done. A little different when you're 1099. You have to keep good records. And, well, you don't have to, I should say. You can keep shit records, but you're just not going to have any deductions.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, that's just the other thing is, as your income grows, just trying to get as close to a break-even point as possible, you know what I mean, on your money. Interestingly, I have a CPA firm do my stuff, right? And so the coaching is an S corporation per se, right? It functions as an S corporation. And then now with some recent tax changes, which I'm shocked at, I'm as red as it gets. I can't believe it's, Anyway, I had to really, because the new tax changes, Justin, I had to really kind of knuckle down and commit on giving myself a salary. Now, that is tough as an entrepreneur, right? Because you don't think about, you just think about, you know, go hunt, kill, deposit,
you know? Yeah,
pay bills. And maybe I'll get a burger. Yeah, I need a tank of gas. Okay, I got to pay the light bill. but you know, this, and then just, oh my gosh. So the whole reason to be kind of more entrepreneurial minded is to be what? More free, more freed up from restrictions, right? More freed up from, I don't want to say governmental entities, but you know what I'm saying? And now it's like, okay, you've got to, you know, you got to have this in your business account, and this is going to come out every 2 weeks, and you really need to try to try to live in these means. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you talking to me right now? Like, why am I even? It's almost like it defeats the purpose in one thing. I get what my CPA is saying, right? It keeps right. The flow steady. I would pay quarterly taxes, and you know, and look, if I paid enough, I came out flat. If I didn't pay enough, well, you know, I owed some money. You know what I mean? And I won't lie, as an entrepreneur, there was one or maybe 2 years, I kind of sat on my thumbs and got lazy, didn't pay the quarterlies, and it came back to bite me in the ass, you know.
Annual, yeah.
And then there I was, shaking and baking, you know, eating the ramen noodles and, you know, unplugging alarm clocks to save electricity. Just didn't get that bad. I'm not teasing.
Well, you don't have to tease. I've been there. You know. You know some of my story. I've been there. There's no shame in that.
Justin, why is the microwave unplugged, bro? You know how much that LED clock runs at night? Like, it's just kilowatt hour after kilowatt hour here, man. In Southern California, man, it's just, you're killing it. What, are you kidding me? Like, you better get a battery operated clock. That's all I gotta say. This is ridiculous. We gotta unplug that curling iron. It's not on. Nah. I don't care. But I know there's still current going through there. It's just bad. You unplug everything. Everybody gets OCD all of a sudden. But anyway, so, well, you know, right? Everything comes at a price.
Yes, it does.
That's the price of entrepreneurship or whatever. Small business, /, entrepreneurship. So,
yeah. And so since we're amidst tax season, I thought it'd be, you know, worth just, I guess, mentioning for a couple minutes, because I know we have a couple minutes left here, just around strategy, right? So, you know, I'm happy to share. Maybe you can chime in too, just around strategy. Like, how do we structure our, not our books necessarily going through line on, but like, you know, what's our plan? How do we keep organized, right? So, I know from my experience, you know, I do a couple things. I also have a firm that I work with from an accounting perspective. And as a tip for all you entrepreneurs out there, when you're at least generating some level of income, from your business, and by income, I mean, you know, a couple thousand dollars minimum, enough to cover your overhead expenses, meaning your S corp or business filing expenses every year, your, you know, some of your basic overhead expenses. You should definitely be investing in accountant is probably the next, you know, one of the first expenses I would recommend. The reason is because when you file that return, unlike if you file it yourself, it's their name on the return. So I don't want to say that protects you indefinitely, because it certainly doesn't. But, you know, the IRS is going to see more favorably toward the returns that come through that are, you know, hey, this firm, that firm, whatever. There's more authenticity. There's more of a trust factor there than Joe Schmo filled out his own return. Oh, we want to take an extra look at that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is obviously they check and will make sure you're clean. I am, knock on wood, have never been audited, and I'm very fortunate and grateful, and hopefully stays that way for forever. But my dad has, and I know how much of a hassle it was for him to be audited. And he was audited, by the way, with no business. I mean, as a W-2. So it can happen to anyone, but it's not a fun thing. It's not, certainly not anything that anyone would want, I would say. Invest in some tax software. QuickBooks Self-Employed, for example, is a free online cloud-based software that you can use for at least an invoicing perspective. That's what I use. So right there, you got some free software you can use. That coupled with your CPA. I also use Intuit TurboTax as well. I'm sorry. Yeah, TurboTax. just from an accounting perspective. So, you know, you have to roll up your numbers quarterly, you know, if you're a business, right, to do your estimated taxes plus yearly as well. And for me, it's an easy way to categorize expenses. So, you know, when I'm doing my or submitting my estimated or my annual taxes, you can easily look to your line items and breakdowns to say, hey, this was a deduction, this wasn't, because they want it categorized as well. So, you know, weekly, I'll go in and I'll categorize my expenses through Quicken, and it just keeps me all organized, right? So those are kind of the main things I do. Obviously, try to take advantage of as many deductions as you can as an entrepreneur. That's a big piece of it. But Quicken, or, you know, Quicken and QuickBooks Self-Employed and an accountant, you know, and staying up to date, you know, with your expenses and categorizing them or documenting receipts and all that. What about you, Bruce? What's your process?
Similar thing. Definitely have somebody professional do your taxes. Number two, yeah, you're going to have to itemize some of your deductions. I just went through, got every Uber, every plane ticket, every stinking printer cartridge I bought, every ream of paper, every supply. I do a lot of coaching books and ancillary materials that I buy for my clients. Yeah, I think it looked like a fun. It took me almost a whole day to print out all those receipts. I would say get a business credit card and use that business credit card for everything relevant to your business. And that way you can keep track of all your related purchases. You don't have to do that, but I would certainly recommend doing that. I'd keep a mileage log of your car miles and keep you a judicious log of the miles you put on your car pertaining to business miles. Thirdly, I would get something called a SEP, an SEP. Now, I didn't do this because I retired from the government, so the government did this for me. But the SEP is like an IRA. It's a retirement IRA that you can put money into as you're earning money into your SEP, and it's tax deferred. You're not paying taxes on it. Okay, and so there's a limit on what you can do. It might be $30,000 or something now. Or I'm not a CPA. I'm sorry, but there's one down the hall here. I have to yell at him, but I think it should be closer to $30,000. That you can kind of sock away into this retirement fund. Now you can't access those monies, right? Without a pretty stiff, 25%+ penalty. But guess what? You know, you don't have to do that. Even the irony here is, so my CPA said, hey, you got to do a SEP. I'm like, good Lord, I already have this pension. I have a Social Security, whatever, theoretically, and I have this other retirement 401k account. So I have to do another retirement account and I guess the answer is yes, or make less money, or buy a plane.
I don't think making less money is
that. No, man. No, it's not, of course not. But you know what I mean? You run out of options, right? You run out of options. I mean, I took on two offices, you know, fading some heat with two offices and the overhead with that. I'll really like that too. That's not necessarily a good investment, folks, unless you're actually, I mean, it is a good investment for me, but yeah, if you don't want to get overextended on your overhead. But yeah, so that's the other element, Justin, is the privately funded retirement account that's tax deferred. And, you know, cause a guy like you, I mean, you know, a guy like you, if you're hitting it really, really hard, you'd be in a pickle. You know, you're like, oh my gosh. And, okay, you paid in for your health care. You got this money for this and that. Now what? You know, after a certain cut point, you're paying a third of your money in taxes. After another cut point, you're paying close to half. I mean, you know, And that's under non-Ocasio-Cortez Bernie Sanders.
Right.
But, sorry, man. Can't help myself.
Yeah, you can't help yourself.
Hey, and you're going to be there in a few years. You'll be like, I get it. You know, I think that's the thing that kind of that paradigm interestingly shifts people. You know what I mean? Anyway, I have a client I'm working with, and she is an entrepreneur, and she's doing this stuff, and she has a 2-year-old daughter, and her husband works. And I'm like, so how do you feel about giving 70% away of your money? She looked at me like, that would be criminal. Well, welcome to the light. Anyway, but seriously, try not to do that with coaching clients. Try not to coach them politically. Anyhow, so yeah, it's always interesting, the pursuit of money. You know, we're always pursuing it, not always, but you know, we're chasing after it. We have the goal and the dream, and then you have enough of that dream, there's consequences, the tax man.
yeah, you just, and you, the tax man, the you tax. Just you just reminded me too of a couple other little tips I wanted to share, which is I, you know, for my projects, I have them on retainer with, you know, paid basically on the first of the month, where that's right around there is the goal. And the other thing I do, I set all my, basically all of my recurring bills to the first of the month too. So it's really easy for me to plan everything for the month, because I know when I'm getting paid, I know when my bills are getting drafted out. And, you know, let's say by the third or the fifth anyway, I know, you know, what you have to live on. That coupled with, you know, let's say, okay, my retainer is initiated and received. I take the third out. It's about a third. Yeah, it's about a third out. And I move it to another account, all with the same bank, but just in a separate account. Just that's like my tax account, I guess, if you want to call it that. And I do that every month, so that when estimated tax time goes around, I've got my, it's not a nest egg per se, but it's basically my tax fund ready to rock and roll. And then what's happened is, because I'm putting enough away, the last two quarters anyway that I've paid it out, I've had a little left over, which then I pay myself back. So after I pay the estimated tax, if there's any left over, which there has been the last couple quarters anyway, I you know, put it back into personal or business savings, let's call it, right? So you pay yourself back. So that's just been my method. You know, you might have a different method that works for you, but I think what is important is that you put your money that's tax, you know, tax money, put it somewhere where you're not going to use it. Don't put it in your everyday checking or your, you know what I mean? Like that's scary, right? Like, oh, well, you know, I have enough to cover it. Like, no, like this is the account that you don't fucking touch until right. You've paid your taxes.
That's a good, I like what you said about having your bills fall, a lot of them fall at the same time as your distribution.
Yeah.
To pay it.
That's been a big one for me, Bruce.
Yeah, it's huge, dude.
Some months to get that straightened out, right? Because you have to call some of these companies and, hey, you know, can I? Some of them aren't capable, but pretty much I'd say 90% of my bills all fall on the first. And that's been intentional. And it's really made a lot of things really easy from a just programmatic, you know, financial perspective of, hey, repeatable bills, repeatable income, you make. It's planning way easy, right? Because, you know, I always used to hate when you get that recurring bill pop up on the 14th or the 21st and you're like, oh fuck, you know, like that's the worst. So yeah, car bill, all my major ones, you know rent, car bill, you know, all the big ones come out on the first of the month, and you know, it's makes things a little bit easier.
And then
there was one other thing I was going to mention too, which is on the you mentioned the credit cards, having a business credit card, highly encourage that as well. If you do look into or have the credit score supported by like a American Express, probably most of them have it nowadays, by the way. A lot of them have built-in, you know, receipt scan or picture taking features. So you know, like one thing I learned from, you know, my EA is he has Business Amex, goes into the app or whatever. So let's say you go out to eat, boom, you go into the app, take the picture on the phone, and you're done. And now you've electronically stored that receipt. You're all ready to go. And it, you know, a lot of these software programs have good organizational systems too. And you're good to go. Helps you on the back end of, you know, what you're talking about.
And thus far, I've been able to get away with, you know, just using my business credit card was sufficient. You know what I mean? Because it has the vendor and all that, and I can use the line items from that. But yes, that's also a great idea to photograph stuff. Anything, you know, particularly when you're entertaining clients. And then if you're buying something that you, I probably shouldn't do this anyway, but No. I mean, it's a good thing. I don't have my business.
You're teasing me. If you say I shouldn't do this, then
I mean, I shouldn't do this. Here it is. I mean, no, it's stupid, but I usually don't carry my business credit card with me 24/7. It's usually left on a business premises. Okay. So if I'm out and about and I see a book or I see something, man, I want to get that for the business, right? Or for a client, then I'll get it with cash. And so it's, or another method. And so I have to make sure that I bring that in to itemize later. That's all I'm saying. I should keep my business credit card with me at all times, but and it took me a while before I even had the business credit card, but that is really, you know, it's just interesting. I mean, my CPA said you should actually entertain a little bit more. You know, you're not entertaining enough. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, you're allowed X amount. You know what I mean? Not to exceed something. I guess there's some sort of a threshold that you can do, Justin. So we should get a box or something at Texas Motor Speedway. And just kidding. AA is not really the AA center, or the new Staples Center or something like that. And
right.
Write it off, the concierge coaches box
at
Staples Center. That'd be funny. It'd be good. Have guests. So have all that.
Do you have any trips coming up?
I thought, you know, I need to get out your way. So that's been percolating. Like, I was going to do it, then something else came up, and then I was going to do another trip, and then something else came up. So that one's on my mind for sure. I might be going out to Boca Raton in April. And that's about all I know of. I might have a Houston, Austin thing sneaking in there in the interim, but yeah, I do have to do a SoCal one and then a Boca Raton. I might have another client one in Florida or Northern Alabama, but it just depends on where they end up. Yeah. How about yourself? What you got going on?
Yeah.
Travel wise.
Yeah. So nothing travel wise, although I have a very jam packed events calendar, I'll call it this month. Just attending, like I said on my last show, conference season is among us. But next month I'll be going at least minimum to Vegas and San Francisco. Vegas, unfortunately, I know a lot of people love it, but I really hate it. But it's, you know, tech conference capital of the US. So it's a big one out there next month. And San Diego as well, actually. So I'll probably be spending a couple nights in San Diego.
Nice.
Kind of local. Nice. So yeah, I got some stuff, you know, in the works, and then probably some international travel this summer of some sort. There's some interesting international conferences this summer that I'm kind of eyeing and, you know, doing some analysis on to figure out what makes sense. But it's going to be fun. Yeah. Yeah. We're approaching, like I said, a fun time of the year, especially if you're in the coaching business. You know, this is now the time, you know, coaches to really go full steam ahead and, you know, promotion, you know, promoting yourself and not being afraid to do, by the way, pro bono work, right? And it might come in weird shapes and sizes, by the way. All right, I think to myself, you know, how much coaching do I do? And it's like, it's not always the ones that you consider your clients. You know, think of the people that come to you and take it as an opportunity to sharpen your skill set. And obviously, if they're open to collect the testimonial at the end of it.
No, that's really good. And look, I've taken on some lower cost assignments. One was with it was a lower cost assignment with a major, major airline. And I have a vendor number with that airline. They invite me every year to continue to be a coach and vendor for this airline. But let me tell you, I've gotten more mileage, no pun intended, out of saying, yeah, I'm a rotating coach for XX Airlines. And, you know, people were like, whoa, really? Like, yep. You know, I got the government paperwork to prove it. So, you know what I mean? So that you're right. Pro bono work, any type of work, that can help you with your brand and your resume, particularly if you're a coach getting started, you would need to build credibility, any type of speaking, writing engagements. One of the more funny, you know, in 2017, I was writing up a storm. I was in like the Washington Post. I was in whatever, you know what I mean? All these magazines and with all the backlinks to my coaching website. So if you type Bruce Cameron Executive Coach, you get all these fun things that come up on Google. Well, interestingly, one of the more popular ones was like a 5-sentence one where I got this solicitation from a men's magazine asking me what kind of cologne I used. And I actually have this bottle of Fendi, right? F-E-N-D-I.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And it is so strong. One shot to the wrist completely blows the week. It's like battery acid, sweet smelling. I mean, it's just bam, that's it, you're done. Anyway, so I said, and, you know, the guy calls for the interview. I said, yeah, man, when I'm looking for something that, you know, you want to smell me before you see me, before I come around the corner, this is Fendi, because this will get the job done, man. I mean, make no mistake about it. Like, everybody's going to, you're going to make a statement. Everybody's going to know you're there. And that got all kinds of, I was looking at the website. I got all these backlinks from this stupid article. I'm like, really? It's not about me being a very competent coach or a former federal official. No, the Fendi. So it's kind of funny.
It's about your cologne interview.
It's kind of like I don't want to say the Donald Trump effect. Even bad advertising is good advertising. You know what I mean? I mean, it got my name out there, and, so to speak. And then that piggybacked some other things in Google. And evidently this little blog was more important. That's the other thing. Don't judge people who are trying to give you some exposure. You know, I thought, oh, well, it's just this blog. Here's another one. Here it is here's another one. Entrepreneurs explain their favorite songs. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm number three. Yes. It's on Google. I just Google myself. That's what I do when I'm feeling down. Okay. So the song was originally, it says Bruce Cameron, Bruce W. Cameron. Actually, it says LA Talk Radio's Concierge Coaches Show. How about that? Thank you very much. This song was originally conceived by David Lee Roth. He'd seen a news story of a suicide jumper and onlookers urging the man to jump. He then took the song and retooled Jump to be an invitation to love. So it is in business. As an executive or owner, you have to jump. But we hope that is from a spirit of growth, risk, and positivity. What do you think about that, Justin?
Well,
isn't that beautiful?
There you have it, folks.
Just another one of my philosophical.
Just jump.
Just jump. And that's called the herepreneur, HEARpreneur at CEOblognation.com. And that little bad boy is a page 2 entry on Google. So anyway, that's just living proof, you know, how something very small can lead to some pretty big branding and stuff and stuff. So yeah, so I guess I better wrap it up. Another great show. Good spitball again today. Thanks for all the tax advice. We hope that some of the things that Justin and I do in our fledgling businesses, can help and help you guys. I shouldn't say fledgling, but you know what I mean. We're pretty much, it's not like we have teeming hordes of people that work for us. So anyway, so Justin, how can folks reach you and connect with you?
I'm out on pretty much every social media channel you can imagine. And I'd say most notably, look me up on nimmergood.com. So just my last name.com. You can find all you would probably ever care to know about me right there.
Right. And plus it's getting warm weather. So hopefully Justin will be either shirtless or wearing Ted Baker.
Oh, geez.
It's getting cold. I say that from a heterosexual perspective, but be on the lookout for that. I know it's a good branding element there. However, you'll see me clothed heavily. Anyway, that said, come visit us on iTunes. We have all of our shows available for you on iTunes. Please feel free to stop by there. We're also on LinkedIn at the Concierge Coaches. We are also on Instagram at the Concierge Coaches. And the Concierge Coaches show has a page on Facebook, and I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. So until then, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. We'll see everybody then. Y'all take care. Have a good week.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.